Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Wiggins left sideline, the front court, downstairs to Draymond. Back up top to Curry. Curry, by 28. Nails that one with Bazemore right in front of him. First three ball of the year for the Warriors and for Stephen Curry.
The first of many threes. Not last night necessarily for Steph Curry, and that's what made that win so impressive. On a night where neither of their primary scorers were scoring an awful lot, they went in and they beat the Lakers in under scenarios that you would have assumed, and rightfully so, that the Warriors would have lost the game. The Lakers got a combined 67 points from LeBron and Anthony Davis. They actually hit more threes than the Warriors. Only one more, but that's technically, mathematically more. Golden State even turned it over 17 times. If I told you all three of those things were going to happen before the game started, you would have said the Warriors would be losing. Not only did they not lose, they won, which I guess is the only other option available to you right there. But yeah, they were fantastic last night. An awful lot of memories came back. Ball movement, pacing, spacing. And to talk about it all, for the very first time in a long time, we get to say hello to Steve Kerr, presented by Tap Plastics, the fantastic plastic place, from custom plastics to cut-size polycarbonates, to acrylic, and more. With 10 Bay Area locations, visit tapplastics.com to find the store nearest you. Steve Kerr, welcome back. It's good to have you here on Damon and Ratto. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. Congratulations. What a great start to the year. I know it's only one game. There are people who are wanting to make more out of it and get you right back to the NBA Finals. I don't think we're there yet, but you seem to be on the right track with a little strength in numbers. Is that what I'm seeing when I squint my eyes right there?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we've got a lot of guys who can play and a lot of guys who I trust. And I think it's pretty obvious we got even more guys who are going to be on that list, you know, with the players we have injured right now who are coming back. So very, very deep roster, and they've been great to work with so far, and I'm really excited about the season.
Did you go into last night's game feeling like you were going to get the kind of disciplined ball movement that you got most of the night? I mean, normally, you know, at least in the last couple of years, it's always been sort of a tooth grinder for you, but it looked last night like the team that, you know, was in early 15, parts of 16, where it seemed like the ball movement was natural and unforced, and it was just guys knowing where to be and being there at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we got a little bit out of sorts in the first half, Ray. I mean, we were trying too hard in the first half, and some of the guys were, you know, attacking the rim, looking to score, and the Lakers are a really big, powerful team, and the only way to counteract size is with ball movement. So I was thrilled in the second half when we settled down and really started to move the ball side to side, and second half, I think we had 16 assists and 5 turnovers, and that's the team that I saw throughout preseason. So I really didn't feel like it was a surprise. If anything, the surprise came in the first half when we were turning it over and we were a little rushed. But I think that was just opening night jitters more than anything.
So tell us how hard you yelled at the team in the locker room at halftime. You must have given them hell, Steve.
I gave them my best Newt Rockne speech. The guys love hearing motivational speeches 82 times. They love that.
So. I mean, do you even need to say anything with the likes of Draymond and now Andre Iguodala back? By the way, if we were taking over-unders on how many minutes we'd see out of Iguodala in his first game back with the Warriors, I don't know if anyone would have pinned him down for 23 minutes last night, but there he was. Welcome home, Andre.
He still got it, you know, and that's what happens when you get a guy who not only takes care of himself and is naturally very gifted to start with, but someone who plays the game with his brain like Andre does. Those guys can play for a lot longer than players who are solely dependent on skill. And it was so great to have Andre out there. Just the awareness level at both ends. You know, he initiates so much offensively. He made a pass at the very end of the first quarter that was just brilliant, kind of a turnaround cross-court pass to Steph. Steph missed the three, but it was emblematic of the kind of player that Andre is, just complete court awareness. And I think he's really going to tie a lot of these lineups together. Obviously, he's not going to play 24 minutes every night, and he's not going to even play every night, but you can see the impact he's going to make on our team for sure.
Since you brought it up, how many halftime screamers do you think is the right number for a coach to use?
In 2021, probably zero.
Okay, fair enough.
I think it's just different. You know, the times are different. I mean, Greg Popovich and Phil Jackson used to scream at the teams I was on, you know, at least several times a year. They had a really good balance. You know, you knew how much they cared about you. They were very cerebral in their approach. You know, they only yelled for legitimate reasons. But, you know, every once in a while you needed to be shaken up. And I think I've sort of coached that way for 7 years. I mean, you guys watch me break three clipboards a year, and it's sometimes I just snap. But for the most part, I don't think yelling works anymore. I really don't. I think you just have to lay out what needs to be done and be really calm about it and reassuring, and I think that's a much more effective way to get your message across these days.
Especially when you got a team full of experienced veteran leaders like Steve Kerr has. He's joining us here on Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game. Steph Curry basically trashed his own triple-double last night, said that he played like trash. The microphones caught you giving him a little bit of a pep talk, saying there have been games where I've watched you not play well, and then it only takes one shot, one moment, and it all comes together. And sure enough, right after you said that, boom, that happened.
Well, you know, I don't have to say that often to Steph, but what I did tell him today was, you know, watching the tape, literally the entire second half, they double-teamed him, and he got the ball out of the double-team with no turnovers, and it was 4-on-3 the entire second half. So you can point to 5-for-21 and say, well, it wasn't Steph's best game, but he generated every single possession, every single advantage that we had, because the Lakers had to blitz him. And I think that's the beauty of our team this year is we are built to take advantage of 4-on-3. You know, Bielitsa is really a hell of a basketball player. We've all watched him stretch the floor and be a pick-and-pop three-point shooter, but he's showing what he's about in terms of his ability to pass and dribble and make plays. And when you get 4-on-3 with guys like Draymond, Belly, Andre, you know, making plays with shooters like Jordan Poole and Damian Lee, Otto Porter, now you're going to get good shots every time. So Steph is the guy that generates every single advantage, and then we've got a team that can take advantage of that this year.
Steve, you're going to be going with Larry Bielitsa or basically call him like Nemanja Bird?
Yeah, I asked Deki, our Serbian coach, you know, how do you say magic in Serbian? can we call him, you know, Magic Bjelica? He laughed. He said it doesn't have the same ring to it if you use the Serbian name. So we're not going to go with that. But we just call him Belly, and he's quickly becoming a favorite with the guys just because of how smart he is and how easy he makes the game for everyone else. He's really really a hell of a player.
I didn't realize that he was that much of a passer. I didn't understand that he could be a point forward, and it looks like he can be that for you.
Well, you know, we've always, since I've been here, I mean, this is year eight, we've always played a style that it really encourages passing from every spot. You know, the way our system is designed, the way Steph and Draymond play, the way defenses respond to Steph, we're just best when we have guys who can pass on the floor. And I would say that's probably true with any team. I mean, passing makes the game. It's the beauty of the game. But he's in a position now with our team to make plays because we're not just asking him to be a spot-up three-point shooter. We're asking him to be a valuable passer and playmaker in our style, and I think he's really enjoying it.
When you're drawing up sets, do you automatically assume that every defense you face is going to double-team Curry, or do you try to create as many ways to slip that double-team? How much do you have to accept in terms of what other teams do to him?
Well, the beauty of Steph and what he offers that no other superstar does is that he's equally as dangerous with or without the ball. And so, you know, when you draw pick-and-roll plays for him, you anticipate that people are going to blitz him. But then when you run him off screens and he comes off that pin down, frequently the, you know, two defenders jump out at him as he's coming off that screen, which opens up all those slips when you see. You saw Belly get free on several of them last night. We've seen Juan Toscano-Anderson over the year, you know, last couple of years, make multiple plays off of those slips. And so Steph just he pulls the defense with him, regardless of whether he has the ball or not, which is why he's the most unique weapon in basketball. And as long as, you know, we can supplement him with spacing and playmaking and shooting like we're doing this year and like we've done for so many years here, then it's going to work. And I think our fans are really going to appreciate this team. I think they're really going to enjoy watching this team because of that ball movement and that pace and spacing.
It's going to be great to see the fans back at Chase Center tomorrow night. I know it's going to mean a lot to you, a lot to the team. You got the Clippers coming into town with Paul George basically driving the bus instead of the injured Kawhi Leonard. How much different of a team do you have to prepare for with George driving?
Well, it's not that different because we know Paul really well. We know what he's good at, and we have to prepare for him just like we would have last year. But, you know, you've got to prepare for what the whole team's going to look like, and obviously they haven't played yet. We've got some preseason games on tape, and we've got a game plan, you know, that we'll put in tomorrow morning with the team. But you know, every team it sort of develops differently each year based on injuries, based on personnel, and they, you know, guys end up taking on different roles, and that will become apparent as the season starts to unfold. But you know, we're very familiar with their personnel, and they've got really good talent even without Kawhi. So we'll have to play well to win.
Since you broached the subject, how much value do you get out of preseason tapes? And specifically, what value is that?
I think there's plenty of value because you get to see some of the young guys for the first time, you know, rookies who are going to be on the floor for your opponent. You get to see at least a semblance of a style, you know, even though teams are still experimenting. You watch a game, you get a feel for what they're about and how they're going to play. And so we've we watched the Lakers, particularly their, you know, their last game against Sacramento before we played them last night. And, of course, we played them twice ourselves in preseason, so we had a pretty good feel for them. We don't have as good of a feel for the Clippers, but, you know, we will have watched a lot of their preseason stuff before, you know, we get to tomorrow night.
It was nice to see Moses Moody get his first NBA bucket. You brought up, you know, young guys that you got to see on some preseason tape. When in the regular season might we see a couple more of your young guys, starting with Jonathan Kuminga, who's been rehabbing, and then, of course, James Wiseman?
Yeah, they both are really stepping up their rehab and their on-court activity. Today was a great day for both of them. Kenny Atkinson's working closely with Jonathan, and they've had good workouts the last 2 days, so the knee is improving. And then, you know, James has been, it's been a very slow 6 months because we're being very careful with him with a meniscus injury. But the last few days, he's really started to ramp it up and, you know, running sprints and doing some things laterally. And you know, Dejan is working with him. So we've got a good development plan in place. We feel really good about it. You know, regardless of how many minutes those guys play, they're gonna see great improvement this year just with all the work they're putting in.
Are you finally over that cold that you had last week that made you sound like Ernie Johnson?
I have no idea what you're referring to. I had a cold last week.
You sounded like it. Maybe you were shouted out.
Wherever we got our sound from, their batteries might not have been charged because you sounded it was the oddest you had sounded. Who knows how that was recorded? Let me ask you this, Steve. You mentioned already you're entering year number 8 as the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, which is just extraordinary how time flies. I'm guessing that time has really been flying in an extraordinary fashion for you, because of those 8, you know, well, I guess this is year number 8, but we're in it now. Of your 8 seasons, it feels like the last 3 of them have been stuck into just the last 2 years with the compressed schedule. And then, of course, you went overseas for the Olympics. Did this year come back around to you faster than any other year you've ever had?
I guess so, based on, you know, the Olympic experience. But I think the quicker turnaround was in 19, you know, after we lost in the finals to Toronto. I coached in the World Cup with Pop that summer in China. And then we turned around and, you know, so we played well into June, and then we turned around and had a season with all of our guys wiped out with injury. So that seemed like a really quick turnaround and difficult turnaround. This one, you know, the Olympics was such a great experience. I had so much fun doing that, and I'm so excited about this team and where we are physically, spiritually, tactically. I'm looking forward to this season, and I'm excited about it. And so I feel refreshed and recharged. I think a lot of people in the organization do. We're really in a good place.
That's great. And then, of course, a little bit later on, you know, maybe a third of the way in, a little bit more than a third, halfway, you're going to get another karma boost, spiritual boost, and execution boost in Klay Thompson. How good of a patient has he been? Is he running out of patience being a good patient? Will you have to tackle him to keep him out of your own lineup?
Yeah, I think that's a big reason for our optimism, you know, not just the way we're playing now and the way camp has gone, but just seeing Klay every day and seeing him happy and seeing him playing basketball again. And his workouts are getting more and more detailed more and more free in terms of his ability to move and cut. And so it's really exciting. And I think Klay is he's happy. You know, it's been a tough couple of years. So he's really, really happy, and we're happy just to see him in such a good frame of mind. So whenever he makes that comeback, it's only going to boost everything that we're already doing.
Well, one game certainly does not a season make, but that's a great game to get this season underway with, and everyone's optimism is just through the roof today, and it really feels like for the first time in a couple of years, the Golden State Warriors are back. I mean, it feels like it, and it feels really, really good. It was so great to see the ball movement and pacing and spacing just dictate a basketball game last night, and it was an awful lot of fun. I know that you consider yourself very much a podcast guy. You did the Flying Coach podcast with Pete Carroll, obviously, and you just went on a podcast called Pod Sauce, which is basically people giving podcast recommendations. How was it, and do you have a podcast to recommend to us, Steve?
Yeah, that was fun going on that show, and the podcast that I would recommend, if you don't listen to it already, is Smartless. Have you heard Smartless?
No. What's it about?
Smartless is Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes are the three hosts. And the format of the show is one of them invites a guest on each week. The other two don't know who the guest is. And they get amazing guests. Anyone from, you know, Ken Burns to George Clooney to, I think LeBron was on it. They get a wildly diverse group of guests, but the three of them are just hilarious. They're best buddies, and they are really funny, and they, you know, they just rip each other the whole time, and yet you get this really fascinating conversation as well. So highly recommend that podcast.
Smartless.
Smartless.
All right. Steve, I hope you don't feel, you know, smartless or less smart after talking to Ray and I. It's great to have you back in with us once again for another season of basketball and being able to talk about with it with you. And we always appreciate your time very, very much. You're always fantastic to us, and we look forward to a very successful and fun season together. Thank you so much.
It's going to be fun. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Indeed. Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. Smartless, Ray. Smartless.
I like the guys that are on it. I'll give it a crack.
There you go. Check out the full interview that Steve did on podsauce.com. Download the Odyssey app. See, there you go. That's called corporate synergy, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
Is that what it's called?
Something.
I had a different name for it.
Well, yeah, but you're not allowed to say that on the air.
No, I'm not.
Good stuff with Steve, and obviously the Warriors just had a great game last night, and what made it great is that it wasn't even a great game. They just played the team game. They felt a little bit like strength in numbers. They ran a wave of talent at you that never let the Lakers separate by more than 10 points. I think that was the biggest lead the Lakers had all night was 10. And the Warriors just always trimmed it. They played well at the end of quarter, at the end of the half. And then they got to the second half and won 68-55. That's how they won that second half. 121-114 was your final. And it was impressive. Bielitsa was impressive. Iguodala was impressive. Jordan Poole was impressive. I mean, when I think of how much better the ball moved without Kelly Oubre Jr. in there, Ray, I mean, I don't want to talk about addition by subtraction, but get that guy out of here. And you know what? He's on Charlotte now, and Indiana is up 75-59 on Charlotte. I'm not going to say it's all Kelly Oubre Jr.'s fault, but it probably is.
I mean, he didn't play more than half the season. It was a bunch of guys who did not know what the system was, and they really didn't get much of a mastery of it on the fly. And I think that explained a lot of the reasons why Stephen Curry had to shoot as much as he did. And I think in the end, while the numbers were gaudy and a lot of people appreciated that, it wasn't a very fun team to watch based on the standard that they set. Last night was closer to what I think they want to be, certainly what Steve Kerr wants them to be.
Really nice start to the year. Really, really nice start to the year. Bob Fitzgerald stopped on by Steiny and Guru says that he's picking up the vibe that they're putting down.
The vibe and the chemistry on this group is so good already. I mean, God, it really – I was talking to Zaza and Sean Livingston about it. I mean, there's such a great feel already with this group. I mean, it just – it gets you very, very fired up.
Again, it's easy sometimes for some people to roll their eyes at Bob's enthusiasm about this team, but after watching last night's game, how could you disagree with any of that? It looked like they were playing game 41, not game one, together last night. I mean, that's really – what I walk away thinking. They looked like they were almost in midseason form with the exception of a few wide open missed shots. And boy, Kerr was right, man. They really were. They would go to double team Steph Curry, which left it a 4-on-3 game everywhere else. And the amount of wide open shots that the Warriors got to enjoy last night was prolific. Had they had hit more of them, that game would have been even more lopsided Warrior win. So we have one big final segment coming up because we've almost done a solid hour of commercial-free radio. I hope you all enjoyed that. Time flies when you are indeed having fun. That was an awful lot of fun with Steve Kerr and Nick Bosa. Stick around. Much more coming up here. Damon and Ratto were brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
A couple of great interviews in the last hour with Nick Bosa and Steve Kerr. If you miss anything, make sure you have that Odyssey app on your phone, powered by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. Let me simplify your sports viewing schedule for the evening, if you'll allow me, Ray. We are all but over at Fenway. There is an 8-run lead that the Astros are sitting on top of right now. They lead 9-1. Red Sox need to score at least 8 runs in their next 3 outs, or that is going to be 3-2 Houston. It is all but 3-2 Houston right now. The Red Sox have only been held to 1 run and 3 hits today. 2 hits and 2 runs in the top of the second for the Atlanta Braves at the Dodgers. You talked about a quick hook for Urias tonight. Dave Roberts screwed him up. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. Maybe it's not all on Dave, but that team's front office and the decision to use, I think, openers ahead of him, maybe even going back to the Giants-Dodgers series, even though that game worked out, that's the first time he had officially been thrown off any semblance of routine. Then he gets pulled into a game as a reliever, and he started this evening with an NLCS ERA of 18, and it has only gone up.
Yeah, they've overused him. And for as much bragging as they've done about their bullpen this year, that seems almost reckless. It's almost as if they're trying to prove an analytics point, which is your starters are better than your relievers, so use your starters more often. But Kenley Jansen has been on an upward arc for a while. Blake Treinen is still one of the best relievers in baseball.
It's like they forgot that he knew how to close games.
Yeah, and they didn't even need him to close games. They just needed him to eat up a few more at-bats. And they didn't want to do that the other night. They love Brewster Graterol because he throws 102. They've gotten nothing but great outings out of Alex Vesia. So I think they did over. I think they've overthought this since the end of the Giants series. It's like they decided, well, we had to be desperate against them, so let's stay desperate. And you can't do that with a pitching staff. You can't do that in the playoffs. Desperation will find you soon enough. Don't go looking for it.
By the way, riddle me this, Batman. How is Kenley Jansen not balking every single time he pitches with that weird hip kick that he's got after he comes set? He kicks his hip out again, resets himself.
Because I don't think he's deceiving the batter. It's not like he's starting to move his arm when he's doing that other stuff. And really, the arm is the thing that triggers a balk.
Shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay. It's to his credit that he's got the physical discipline to do those twitches without balking. But it's clear that he's worked on them a while. And it's a real good sort of physical mnemonic for him to make sure that he keeps his hips in. Because that's why he does it.
Right. No, I mean, I guess I understood why he was doing it. I just didn't know how that wasn't a balk at some point.
Yeah, I think it's all in shoulder movement and arm movement. You're not feigning a throw either to the plate or any base, so you're okay doing that.
You will have very little ALCS to watch tonight. As a matter of fact, that game's going to be over quickly. NLCS is looking at the Braves with a 2-0 lead on the Dodgers. That game's in the second inning.
Oh, yeah, 2-1 tonight. You're right.
11 NBA games happening tonight, Ray. The Warriors, of course, host the Clippers tomorrow night in their home opener. And by the way, Ray, you're going to miss the home opener.
Yes, I am.
Ray's not going to be with me tomorrow night. We're going to bring in Nick Friedell. He's going to be with me live from Chase Center tomorrow and on Friday. We probably won't be at Chase Center on Friday since there isn't an actual Warriors game.
Yeah, it'll be easier to park, though.
It will be. You're right about that. Well, if you had to come to this building, is it easier to park?
No, you have a better chance finding a good parking place in the sea.
Yeah. A Warrior win last night. Games everywhere tonight. The NBA's back, baby. Your ESPN doubleheader this evening. Celtics-Knicks followed by Nuggets v. Suns. How about this for a stat on R.J. Barrett? This one made me go, really? Okay. Maybe that's why it's coming together for the Knicks a little bit. R.J. Barrett finished the 2020-21 season averaging 17.6 points, 5.8 rebounds, and 3 assists per night. Only 4 players in NBA history have ever matched or exceeded those averages and those categories over a full season before turning 21. The list? Magic, LeBron, Luka, and Zion. That's pretty impressive. I didn't think R.J. Barrett was getting down like that.
Yeah, which of these things are not like the others is what it...
Well, no, the point of the stat is this thing is like those others.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the players.
Well, you might be right about that.
Yeah, I mean, R.J. Barrett is a guy who has been bad and good on a team that's been bad and good. So I don't know what to make of him yet.
But he's young.
That's true. But I don't believe his powers to make the Knicks better are better than the Knicks' powers to make him worse. I think the Knicks are not good, and they're going to stay not good. And because they have Tom Thibodeau, history suggests that the second year is worse than the first. The Knicks are one of those teams that always tease you and then never deliver. And not just sometimes don't deliver, never deliver.
By the way, speaking of deliver tonight, I hope that Kate Scott does. Kate Scott makes her regular season debut as the play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. Kate is going to eat well this evening because the Sixers are in New Orleans. And look, we got Ben Simmons proving himself a baby. And in New Orleans, They're already calling Zion Williams fat. He's up to over 300 pounds, they're saying. And I looked at his media day picture from last year as opposed to this year. Ray, he got puffy. If you have a foot injury and you have a tendency to eat on the very well side your entire life, and red beans and rice hadn't missed Zion a single night of his life, and you're in New Orleans, that's a recipe for a level of self-discipline you're either going to find or you might be tractor trailer before it's all said and done.
Well, and also, and I think this was one of the things that people were kind of whispering during the draft, it's that the people who were sort of so-so on him thought he had the kind of a body type that would thicken and maybe not be able to support his weight.
Well, like the injury concerns, because he had him at Duke, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, he tore apart his shoe with his own foot.
Yeah.
And I think that might be part of it, too, because I don't know that I'm ready to call him, like, slothful. But he spent more time rehabbing than he has training. And not because of choice, but because that's been the nature of his career so far. He might be the kind of guy who never is fully healthy unless he gets significantly lighter. And that means, you know, not being as muscle-bound. Because I don't know if he's fat. I haven't looked hard enough to see if I could discern that.
Puffy.
But he's always been big.
Yeah.
And there's something about big on a basketball frame that doesn't work long-term if you're the kind of player that he is, because he's a mobile player and he likes to run up and down the floor.
He's a jumper.
And he does, yeah, stops and starts and hard lands. And, you know, he's a guy who I suspect, or at least I fear, will be a guy who's always fighting injury because of his carriage.
On big men and guys who carry a lot of weight on a basketball court, once the knees, ankles, or feet go, your career might follow quickly. And I really like Zion, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, he's already got a lot of foot issues, and he's carrying some serious LBs, and New Orleans is a terrible place to lose weight.
Well, but he can sort of control his own environment. They'd give him a chef. They'd do all the things that to try to get the weight
sure.
down. I just think that...
But Commander's Palace is still right there, right?
Yeah, but I bet... I mean, if he wants to make this work, whether he wants to stay in New Orleans or not, Commander's Palace isn't part of the plan.
You wouldn't think, but apparently it's part of his personal plan at this particular time. Damon and Ratto here. We'll be back for one more in just a moment. We're brought to you by Caltrans Stormwater Program. Visit cleanca.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
Coming up next, little Kolsky and Company. So be ready. It is right around the corner. Every Monday from 6 to 7 o'clock, you get the football hour with Sean Salisbury and Lorenzo Neal. A couple of ex-NFL players talking about, what do you know, the NFL. Presented by Livermore Casino, located on 1st Street in Livermore. Vegas-style blackjack, three-card poker, baccarat, and Texas Hold'em. It's all right there at the Tri-Valley's Place to Play in downtown Livermore. Play responsibly. Ray, you are going to be taking a little long weekend. We're not going to see you until Monday, so let me get one last story from the burning embers that was the Raider PR nightmare from the last week or so here. Did you see that Mark Davis thinks that the Gruden email release was an intentional hit job on the Raiders by league office? New York Post says that Mark Davis was emotional during his meeting with John Gruden, and when he tendered his resignation, and believes, quote, influential figures within the league office were intent on forcing Gruden out through calculated media leaks on the emails. He thinks that the league is out to get him and that it's a hit job. Agree or disagree?
why would the league hate John Gruden? Why would the league care about John Gruden? And why would the league risk having to release emails that ultimately indicted, among others, the league's chief lawyer? It does. I mean, the stuff about that Jeff Pasch was doing as the league's counsel on behalf of the Redskins, on behalf of the Washington football team, they were the Redskins then.
Thanks for clearing that up.
That's far more problematical than anything that Gruden did.
Yeah.
I mean, Gruden was offensive and stupid, but I don't think the league, A, leaked this. I think it was an inside job from Washington, and Gruden was simply the shiny object that people would pay attention to so that they could do the other leaks. Because the first leak didn't do anything. They released it on a Friday night, and Gruden apologized for it, and Davis was ready to just go along and get along. He let Gruden coach the Sunday game, and then the second round of leaks happened because I think the first one didn't take, according to the people leaking it. And I've yet to find out why the league wanted anything out,
yeah.
Well, let alone anything that has anything to do with John Gruden. I think that's nonsense.
Exactly. So your answer to the question, I think, is where the entire truth lies. Why would it benefit the NFL to submarine John Gruden right in the middle of a, dare I say, Raider resurgence? You know, if that's what we're kind of looking at now, what good would it have done the NFL? What do they benefit from his pelt going up on the wall of public outrage? Like, it doesn't make any sense. You're right about that. Let's just call it what it is. Mark Davis, his entire life, he's been a massive jock sniffer. It's what he's done his whole life. He's a jock sniffer. And the jock that he likes sniffing the most belonged to John Gruden. And he's very upset that his favorite aroma is no longer in the building with him. His hero's gone.
Yeah, and the other thing is, none of this is about football anyway. Why do they target a team in a new city when they want to establish that city as a football mecca? That also doesn't make any sense. This is about ownership and billionaires. And the people who are who went through John Gruden are actually going after Dan Snyder, who owns the Washington team. And the league is hell-bent on saving Snyder, not only from himself, but from the outside world. So Mark Davis he's whistling in a graveyard. I mean, he has no idea what he's talking about.
Text line says,
again,
no question, this was a leak to attack the Raiders. Everyone knows this. No, no one knows this. And the only people that believe it are sycophant Davis supporters and Raider fans who want to live in a reality that only exists to Raiders fans.
And they never say why it's important to the league that a team that's been in the playoffs once in 17 years is such a threat to the other 31 teams. You tell me when that. Tell me how that works.
I can't.
You won't. Well, no, I'm not talking about you.
I know.
Talking about Johnny Textline over there with more time than sense.
Johnny Textline. Let me tell you, boy, he could be a pain in the rear end. We have seen an awful lot of Deshaun Watson might be, could be, would be rumors. None of them matter. Nothing, Ray, about the Houston Texan matters until John McClain has it. John McClain has got the goods on the Texans like nobody else that has ever covered them. And he is finally reporting that the Texans could be close to moving Deshaun Watson, possibly before the week is over. And it looks like the Miami Dolphins are preparing to make this trade.
This is an old rumor that may have been rekindled. And I'm not questioning John McClain's reporting at all, but I'm having a hard time seeing the logic in it. Not because they're married to Tua Tagovailoa, because they're not. Not because Houston, you know, thinks it can get maximum return for Watson.
Because they can't.
Well, because they have basically sat him on the bench to molder for 6 weeks. I think this is the Texans trying indirectly to stir up a market where there probably isn't one yet. I mean, Come see us again around the deadline.
I would just say that McClain has never been a mouthpiece of a front office.
No, but there are ways to get guys who aren't mouthpieces. You just have to be indirect about it. And it's not like the Dolphins are in a position where they're ready to make a jump. They're 1-5
right.
in a bad division.
They're desperate. I mean, that's a thing. They were supposed to be coming up as the division, the Patriots, were coming back towards them.
Yeah.
Now the Bills are kind of legit.
They're plenty legit.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about the New York Jets. Not ever.
No.
And apparently, you don't need to worry about the Dolphins.
Yeah, no, I think the time to have done that has passed. And the only thing that the Texans can do now is hope that somebody gets mega desperate with a chance to make the playoffs as opposed to Miami and is willing to give them all the draft choices that they ask for. And that seems unlikely, too. I think they're going to have Deshaun Watson as their Nate Sudfeld for the rest of the year.
That looks like a home run off the bat of an Atlanta Brave. Freddie Freeman, yard. It is 3-0 Atlanta down in Los Angeles.
Gone.
There you go. Indeed.
Well,
gone.
It was 5-2 a lot later than this yesterday, so I'll hold my powder.
Yeah. Did you see that Charles Barkley basically said, oh, they're done. Dodgers are done now. They're going home. And as soon as he said that, Bellinger hit the 3-run home run, and now here we are. And we got to go. Ray, I'll see you on Monday. Have yourself a good long weekend.
No.
That's our boy. Thank you very much to Lucas and Grandy Maldonado. Great stuff. Great bookings today. Nick Boson, Steve Kerr. That was really, really good. We appreciate it. Stay tuned. Kolsky and Company around the corner. In the meantime, please do remember that, number one, we're going to have Nick Friedell along with yours truly over at Chase Center tomorrow to get you ready for the home opener against the Clippers. Warriors are 1-0, baby. Sweep L.A. Why not? Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.